everybody. Welcome inside the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and Packers News. I'm Ryan Wood alongside my colleague and partner, Tom Silverstein. 27-17 for the Packers against the Steelers, their third straight victory. You know what, Tom? That 38-3, it feels like it's more and more in the distant past. They've won three straight now. They had a huge win at San Francisco, and they kind of cruised to this win today at Lambeau Field against the Steelers. First of all, Big Ben is old Ben now, so it's a little bit different. But this is a Steelers team that did open the season with the win at Buffalo. It has a nice win on its resume. And, you know, three straight wins, 3-1. Maybe these Packers are who they thought they were all along.
Yeah, maybe. I think I'm going to be the party pooper here. You know, San Francisco just got beat by Seattle at home. These guys are really bad. I mean, they are. I was really surprised at how bad they are. I thought their defense was solid and played solid, but, you know, TJ Watt's not anywhere near what he's going to be once he's healthy again. Ben Roethlisberger was atrocious, and their offensive line is pretty bad. So I'm not sure what to make of it. I you know, it was big for them to shake the San Francisco game, but I'm still not a believer. I still think there's something out there that they've got to prove. And, you know, they're winning the games they need to win, and that means something. But I just walked away from this Pittsburgh game going, man, this was a hot mess of a Steelers team. And, you know, the Packers did what they had to do to win.
Here's what I think they have proven, because I think that this 3-1 is pretty impressive for one reason. Almost nothing has gone right for the Packers. And I'm not just talking about 38-3. Za'Darius Smith has played, 18 snaps all season. They haven't had David Bakhtiari, which they knew, but they haven't had Elgton Jenkins for half of these four games. Today, they lose Jaire Alexander. They were already four starters down. No Elgton Jenkins at left tackle, no MVS. He's on IR. Chris Barnes was inactive today. And Kevin King's in the concussion. Both Chris Barnes and Kevin King, the concussion protocol, four starters down. They lose Jaire Alexander in the second half. That is potentially a huge injury. Immediately after the game, Matt LaFleur said they don't know yet. They have no idea. Pete Doherty, our colleague, asked at could at least the worst case scenario be ruled out? Is this at least not season ending? Matt LaFleur didn't know. They're waiting for test results to come in. It's a shoulder injury. That's potentially a huge injury. They're 3-1 despite all that. I think it's impressive for a team to have very little go right on the field and still be 3-1.
I guess. I mean, every team, you know, you can look at it in a vacuum. Every team has injuries, and the Packers have lost, you know, they've lost two decent guys. They've lost Za'Darius Smith, who to me is a really instrumental part of their defense. And now they're not going to have him, and they're probably not going to have him all year. Okay, he's out. Elgton Jenkins was a loss. I think anytime you lose a guy of his stature, you know, that's significant, although it's not long-term. I mean, that happens. Chris Barnes, Kevin King, you know, it happens. People like that are out. I don't know how long Jaire Alexander will be out. You know, we'll find that out. If they lose him, that's really significant. I think then you can start to worry about what the future looks like. But they're a pretty deep team. And I think that's what this has shown, is that there isn't a ton of difference in some of these spots between guys. They're able to survive. They have enough depth to do that. But I don't know. I'm still looking for them to be dominant in some way. And they're not. They're not dominant on defense. They look decent on offense, but they're not having any just really big clicking games. And I realize it's week four. I don't know that anybody's doing that right now, but that's what I want to see in the coming weeks, whether they're that team.
Jaire Alexander went down and got carted to the locker room, did not return with 2:40 left in the third quarter. And at that point, Eric Stokes was all of a sudden your top cornerback in his fourth career game. Shannon Sullivan was in the slot where he's made a home for himself for the past couple of years. And Isaac Yiadom, who had a pretty good day on special teams, was elevated to a starting corner spot. And they were able to – the defense ended the game. You know, Eric Stokes had a nice day for himself. Aaron Rodgers talked after the game about how, you know, Eric Stokes was going to keep getting dink and dunked, and at some point there was going to be a double move. He was talking to MBS on the sideline during when the defense was on the field, and sure enough it came, and he was ready for it. He ended the day with his first career interception, which, Tom, I thought was only impressive because that was the knock on him, his inability to play the football, catch the football, finish plays in college. He had sticky covers, but he didn't finish plays. Fourth career game, first pick. A good start for him. I sense some more cold water coming your way.
Well, let me start by saying I really like the guy. I think he's going to be a good player. I think there's a lot to like about Eric Stokes, and I like the way he plays. I like his aggressiveness. I like his tackling. I think he's a better tackler than the missed tackle he had. But let's not forget that if Ben Roethlisberger weren't the quarterback today, he would have been beaten for two touchdowns. I mean, there were two post routes that Juju Smith-Schuster had him beaten on. So, you know, that happens. That's part of being a rookie. And that's where losing Jaire Alexander could be disastrous for them, really bad. I totally get your point that they were down to almost nothing. And they did pull it out. But, you know, what's going to happen when, you know, we need to see them against some really quality quarterbacks. And then we'll know a little bit more about whether they're as gritty or, you know, as able to pull out victories with guys being down.
There's a scene in Apollo 13, one of my favorite movies, where Gene Kranz turns to his crew and says, "The ship is blown up." And he says, "What's good? What is operational? What is good?" Tom, I'm going to ask you the same thing about this Packers team. What do you like?
I like that they are finding a niche for A.J. Dillon. I think that they did a really nice job of including him. The thing I didn't like was in the fourth quarter, and, you know, while I'm doing this blog, I'm always it takes me a long time after the game to remember when things happened, but there was a drive where they had a couple of chances to get first downs and they ended up punting. And I was just saying to myself, just run him, just keep pounding him until they can't stop him. Oh, I know what it was. So it was with 10:05 left. He runs 5, 4, 5, 6. And then they throw it three times. And I'm like, just pound him into the ground or bring Aaron Jones in or something, because you're running the clock and you're getting first downs. And they threw to Tanyan incomplete. He threw to Tanyan again incomplete. And then he threw to Adams on their fourth and four and missed.
They tend to do that. They tend to get away from the running game, even when, you know, they went empty a couple times and it, they were getting yards. I think it was the end of the first half. It just doesn't compute sometimes. Why not stay with the run? You know, the thing I didn't get, Tom, was Matt LaFleur said that he went up to A.J. Dillon after the game and he was going to congratulate him and basically say, "Way to step up, way to step up to the moment." And he caught himself. Because it wasn't so much that he stepped up or that this was the first time he stepped up. It was the first time he'd really gotten the opportunity. And what I don't get is why it's week four And this is the first time AJ Dillon has gotten the opportunity. Where has this been? Why wait a month? I don't know why it took this long.
Yeah, I guess, I'm going to put on my understanding cap, you know, and I understand that Aaron Jones is the guy, number one, that they've got to get the ball to. I mean, he is, to me, he's number one in the offense. Well, he's one A, you know, Davante Adams is one and he's 1A, or they're both one, whatever. So I understand that they were doing that, but this was the kind of game, this was a perfect game for AJ Dillon to have an impact. You know, it's wet out. It's Steelers are a big physical team. You know, Aaron Jones doesn't have to have 20 carries every single game. This was a good game to ride AJ Dillon. And now they have to build off this, figure out how to build off it. Where can he be used the most effectively? And that's going to be a challenge, because you still got to get Aaron Jones the ball. But maybe if they stop going to so many empty backfields and, you know, throwing on third and four, I'd like to see him. Wouldn't you like to see him run it once in a while on a third and four just to see if they could get it?
Especially when you know that there's a head coach that has no qualms at all about going for it on fourth down.
Right.
And if you know that.
Exactly.
Look, I don't think that A.J. Dillon getting more carries needs to take anything away from Aaron Jones being a 15 to 20 touch a game guy. I think this is an offense that needs to run the ball so ad nauseum, so frequently. I mean, look, they got Aaron Rodgers, they got Davante Adams, they got the MVP top receiver in the league, and the running game is everything for this offense. They need to run it more in general than they have. And I think that you keep Aaron Jones as that 15 to 20 touch a game guy and give A.J. Dillon more of a workload, because that's just how much they need to run the football.
I agree. And I think this offensive line is going to turn out to be a good run blocking offensive line. Even when they get Bakhtiari especially when they get Elton Jenkins back, they got the potential to be a pretty good running team. I mean, they ran it against a pretty good defense, at least, you know, with TJ Watt, Cameron Hayward. I mean, they were missing their two inside guys, but, you know, they have two good inside linebackers. They have good outside linebackers. I just thought they did a really nice job running the ball. And stop forcing it. You can win running the ball. You're going to run into one of those Tampa Bay games again next year, or from last year, where run the ball. You could have run the ball on them, you know.
And it only makes Aaron Rodgers better. It only makes Davante Adams better, because all of a sudden you've got a safety that's dropping into the box, because you can't keep doing two shell when your running backs are combining for 30 carries and 129 yards, which is what they did today. And it's not just that they were running the ball well. You know, Tom, this to me, it reminded me of one of those games from the past where Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams would team up to kind of carry the offense. Only this time it was Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. They combined for 34 touches and 196 yards. Wow. And that is something that they can continue to do. It only makes Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams better when you've got a two-headed monster in the backfield that is going for 34 touches and 196 yards.
Yeah. And you know what just occurred to me while we were talking is – A.J. Dillon is built for Lambeau Field, and Aaron Jones is built for turf, for road games, for indoor games. Not that Aaron Jones can't be effective here, but if you want to take a game where you want to highlight Aaron Jones, you know, do it in a dome on turf, something like that, where he is really dangerous. And if you want to really highlight A.J. Dillon, do it on a day like Sunday where it was raining and wet, and, you know.
Well, Aaron Rodgers said after the game that A.J. Dillon is that prototypical cold-weathered Lambeau Field back that he's really happy to see getting carries in September and October before it's cold. So, Yeah, maybe later on in the season when it gets cold, you'll see more AJ Dillon. I don't know why it took till week four, but you know, Tom, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he was really happy today because his GM resume looked a little bit better. It looked a little bit better today with Randall Cobb scoring two touchdowns. Hey, the last time Randall Cobb had a season with the Packers, 2018, 9 games, he had 2 touchdowns all season in those 9 games, and none of them were at Lambeau Field. Randall Cobb got his first Lambeau leap today since December 23rd, 2017. Like he said after the game, it's been a while. And I don't know what your read of it was. I'll be honest, I had no expectation of Randall Cobb contributing to this offense whatsoever when he was traded here. I had zero expectation. He has 8 catches in 4 games, not big numbers, but 6 of those catches have converted third downs. 4 of his 5 catches today for 69 yards, a team high, were on third down. The one that wasn't was his 1-yard touchdown. To me, the production, it's not going to be consistent. It will be sporadic. He's not the Pro Bowler he used to be. But if he can be a guy who as a veteran, has a very niche but significant role in a guy that Aaron Rodgers turns to on third down and comes through the way that he has, that is significantly more, not low floor, but significantly more contribution to this offense than I expected to see from Randall Cobb, and it's only been 4 games.
Yeah, I was surprised. Now, he got more opportunity, and I do think that this was a, you know, I do think that Randall Cobb is kind of a cover two type weapon because he's really good at running the crossing routes. You know, he gets up on a safety or a linebacker and he just makes a nice move and cuts across the field. Where he can is not probably as strong as, you know, man-to-man coverage with a guy who can cover. So when he gets on safeties and linebackers, you know, which happens in the slot, he's pretty effective. He was, I was surprised today. And, you know, I was most impressed with his 23-yard touchdown. That was just a nice run and catch, a good route. Then he had a route where he just broke someone's ankles. I can't remember what the circumstance was, but he just made a really nice move. And I think the guy fell down. And then, you know, the second touchdown he got was okay. You know, nothing huge, but it was a good contribution with MVS out.
I thought the second touchdown he had was a good example of a guy who is familiar with the quarterback because that was an extended play. Rodgers carried it almost to the sideline, and the entire time, you look at that replay, the entire time Cobb is fighting and working to get separation from Micah Fitzpatrick. And eventually at the very end of the play, he does. And the only reason that touchdown happens is because he didn't quit the play. He understands Rodgers is going to always be in the play. And he worked all the way to the end. And that's why the touchdown came. This was a perfect storm for Randall Cobb.
Yeah, MVS was out. I would have rather he give the ball to Dillon down there. This is my concern with Aaron Rodgers is that he's going to try to prove that Cobb is still viable instead of just letting it happen organically. Like I'm going to go back and look and see if he did an RPO on that and change the play. You get down there, it's more demoralizing when you run an A.J. Dillon up the middle, right up the gut into the end zone. So, and they're going to need to do that at some point. It would be unfortunate if he's trying to get it to Cobb. I thought, you know, the 23-yard touchdown, totally organic, great play. You know, there were some others that were as well, but I worry about that.
Well, that 23-yard touchdown, the play was not designed for Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb started that play on the back, his route on the backside of that play. It was for Devontae Adams because every play is for Devontae Adams. Yeah. And if you look at that play, the Steelers sent their safety literally like as aggressively as you possibly can. Their safety just made a beeline for Devontae Adams on the snap. They doubled him, and they needed someone, you know, and Rodgers kept scanning on his five-step drop out of shotgun, and Cobb flattened his angle and came across the formation, and it was a good heady play. But as I was saying, I think this was a perfect storm for Randall Cobb. MVS was out. They needed somebody. And the Steelers, more than any time this season, and that's saying something because every defense has done this, but the Steelers, everything was about taking Devontae Adams out today. That was their entire, not 99%, 100% of their game plan was to take Devontae Adams out. That's why you had a pair of running backs combined for 35 touches, close to 35 touches and 200 yards. Everything they did was taking Devontae Adams out. That opened for someone to step up in the passing game. Today, it was Randall Cobb. So if that's going to continue to happen, I for the first time, I see the value of having him in this offense. The thing I'm wondering from you, Tom, is that value going to hurt long term? It's good in the short term. They need to win games now, but is it going to hurt long term? Because these are snaps. These are opportunities that Amari Rodgers might otherwise be getting.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a really good question. To some degree, I think it does hurt him, but it's a long season too. And let's say through the first eight games, Randall Cobb is that guy and continues to be effective and help them win games. And then, you know, maybe it just kind of starts to switch over when Amari Rodgers, there's no reason to rush him. You know, let him continue to practice, learn from Cobb. And then maybe there's this point, you know, in practice where you're going, how are we, you know, the coaches are asking themselves, we got to get this guy the ball. And I don't know that right now he can do better than Randall Cobb did. But there's plenty of season. I would say at the halfway point, then you got to start thinking about, okay, long term, is Amari Rodgers someone who can really help us down the stretch?
We talked about him already, but the guy, the rookie who's getting those valuable snaps now is Eric Stokes. You got to think that's going to help him out. You know, he had the interception two pass defense today, and then he had some lessons from Juju Schuster-Smith. You got to think that's going to help him long term. I think, though, defensively, the thing that surprised me the most, their defensive front, there's very little reason for this defensive front to be worth much of anything. I mean, they don't have Za'Darius Smith, and they – Kenny Clark is a stud, and he's been a stud all year, but I didn't think they'd have as much around them as they've shown. Kingsley Keke had a big strip sack today. Rashawn Gary continues to emerge. Rashawn Gary didn't just sack Ben Roethlisberger today. He sacked the Steelers offensive lineman along with them. They're getting more production on the defensive front than I expected them to get, and I think that was why – Look, Big Ben is old Ben, and that was the biggest reason the Steelers' offense looked bad today. But I do think that the Packers' defensive front has had a couple games now where they've looked okay.
Yeah, you know, I wrote about it and said in my column, you know, the same year they signed Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, they drafted Rashawn Gary and Kingsley Keke. And, you know, that's the present and the future. And now Za'Darius Smith is gone. As far as we know, for the whole year, maybe these guys are the ones who, you know, this has been a progression and they have to step into that role. And they did a little bit today. You know, Kingsley Keke admitted that the first three games were kind of rough for him and he just wasn't feeling it. You know, he had that ankle injury in training camp. And he said, last game, he started to feel he was playing with more power, and then this game, he felt he was really back. And Gary is never going to, in my opinion, he's not going to be Za'Darius Smith. He's not, I don't even know if he's Preston Smith in terms of a pass rusher. Got to remember, he's a defensive end. He's a power guy. But he can be really good against the run, holding the edge. And then he can win some power rushes, and that's what they need. They need him to play just really physical and get some sort of penetration, start knocking these guys back. And I'll be interested to go back and look at watch the game again and see how much penetration he was getting. But it was big for him to get that sack. And he had another hit on Roethlisberger. So, and six tackles is nothing to sneeze at either.
Is there anything else you want to hit on in the defense before we move to what is a pretty eventful special teams today?
Yeah, I'm a little bit wondering where their safeties are. You know, I can't think of a play that Adrian Amos or Darnell Savage have made in a while. And I don't know if that's the defense or if that's them.
Darnell Savage is having his tough enough time to stay healthy at the moment. You know,
yeah.
The shoulder, and then what was it today in the second half that had him?
It looked like it was a cramp, but I don't know. Did they ever say? I never heard the report on it.
Yeah, I don't recall. You know, my second half is at least partly filled with my nose and my computer trying to file the game story. So that was doing that when that happened. But yeah, they've been quiet on the back end. But you know, there hasn't been a ton of big plays over their head either.
No, there haven't. And you're right. And
job number one.
That's the sign of, you know, a good team. I think that Mike Pettine liked Adrian Amos more than Joe Barry did. You know, not that he doesn't like Adrian Amos, but I think Mike Pettine really thought that he wanted Amos near the line of scrimmage and he wanted him in the run game. And, you know, we saw Adrian Amos making a lot more tackles in that defense. And maybe his job now is just to prevent the deep ball. Maybe that's what this defense is about. And just speaking of guys who are making lots of plays, Devondre Campbell just continues to be, what a surprise that guy has been.
9 tackles, quarterback hit, pass defense today. Just another day at the office.
Yeah, he's all over the field. He really is.
Tom, when's the last time they had an inside linebacker that has been as good as he might be?
Wow. Desmond Bishop, maybe? I don't know. You know, he's just been physical, can cover. You know, maybe Nick Barnett at his best. I'm not really sure. That's a good question.
It goes a long way when you got a guy like that in the middle of your defense.
It does. And, you know, when they get Barnes back, that's even better. You know, you can't win with Summers and Burks all year long. You got to have Chris Barnes back. And when they do, they're a pretty stout defense, at least up the middle. You know, Kenny Clark, you mentioned it. He is just playing his butt off. I don't know how many tackles he had, but every time I've seen him shed so many blocks to make single tackles, it's pretty impressive.
4 tackles, tackle for loss, quarterback hit, fumble recovered. That's Kenny Clark today.
You know, he's a nose tackle. So, you know, those guys never have stats.
That's, yeah, no. His production goes far beyond the numbers, and this is a guy that's had numbers. That's impressive. So, Tom, we got to talk about special teams. I've been itching to talk about the special teams.
Right.
57 yards from his end zone, forcing a fair catch. Corey Bohorquez, I'm not saying he's the best player on the Packers roster, but I'm not saying he's not. He's a stud.
Yeah, he is a stud.
I've never seen that, Tom. I 8 years covering this, I've not seen a 57-yard punt from your end zone to force a fair catch.
Did we ever see one punt like that from J.K. Scott ever?
Oh, No.
I was like, okay, this is a pressure punt, and I watched this punt really closely. I'm like, okay, let's see what they pressure him, and then let's see if he chokes. You know, he's in his own end zone. This is as good as opportunity to choke as you can get. And man, he just crushed it. Absolutely crushed it. Yeah, it's fun to watch a punter like that.
The other side of the special teams today, and this is a thing that Matt LaFleur said that they're going to look at and give a hard look to, the right side of their field goal protect. you know, Joe Hayden was called for an offside that negated what would have been a potentially game-turning disaster, which was Minkah Fitzpatrick recovering a blocking and then recovering a blocked field goal at the end of the half and returning it for a touchdown. Would have
scored. Well, they called it on Hayden?
I believe they called it on Hayden. Correct. Okay. 23. It was 23 and 39 on that side.
Yeah.
But Matt LaFleur said after the game, it was really close. He said that if you look at, you know, because we didn't see where the ball was. I didn't see where the ball was on those replays. He said that it was really close. I wonder how close it was when you see the ball. But this, the same side, the 49ers, that game-winning kick that Mason Crosby had in San Francisco,
yeah,
it was so close to getting blocked. If you look at the replay, same side, that right side of their field goal protect. It doesn't take much in this league, you know this stuff, for the secret to be out. The secret is out that the right side of that field goal protect unit has got some leaky holes.
Well, and you can overload. Does it? Or does, as Mo Drayton explained to us, he's all about angles. And maybe he just feels – maybe they are set up that penetration from that side they're not worried about, that they don't think anybody can get to it as long as the operation is quick enough. Now, I'm not saying he's right, but is that what's happening? Or are they just not blocking?
I did not get that sense from Matt LaFleur after the game. When he says that he's going to give a hard look at that side, and I didn't get a sense from that. We'll see what he says tomorrow about it because he'll be asked.
Yeah.
But Matt LaFleur said it was actually close to being an offside or not. Way too close for comfort, regardless, because that's a game-turning play.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the replay several times, and from just whether they got off before the ball was snapped, I didn't think so. I thought if they were offsides, it was lined up offsides. I don't know. And I don't know if they called them lined up offsides or if they felt like they jumped the snap.
Yeah, I don't know either, and it'll be interesting when they see the film and what they come with, but that's just too close for comfort, you know.
Sure. So yeah, it is, and they almost blocked another one, right? Didn't was it in the fourth quarter or third quarter? I think didn't they almost block his field goal start of third quarter?
You know what? I'm drawing a blank.
I think they did. I think they came close.
I'm drawing a blank, but it sounds like the Packers field goal protect unit right now. So let's go with that. And that's where they're at. That's something they're going to have to address. They're going to have to address that. They're going to have to get it fixed. 2 weeks in a row where they've been way too close for comfort there. So
yeah, and you're right. Teams will, if that is a weakness, teams will pick at that like nobody's
going to overload that side. That's what's going to happen. And they're going to, you know what? It's going to get worse before it gets better if they don't really, really pay attention to that.
Well, you know what you have to do then? You have to fake it. I mean, you have to run a fake that off that side and release a guy and throw the ball. And then they won't do that anymore. So look for a fake against Cincinnati next week. You heard it here first.
And that's the thing. Stop me if you heard this before, Tom. The Packers are on to Cincinnati. 3-1 Bengals team, Joe Burrow. That's a game they got to, you know, it's not just your regular Bengals. This is a team that's winning right now. So it's
going to be without, if Jair Alexander isn't there, man, that could be interesting.
Bengals are better than Steelers.
I think so. You know, they beat them. They beat them handily. And I just think they're a better all-around team. I mean, who's going to cover Ja'Marr Chase? You know, good luck with that. I guess so, Stokes and Chase, that'd be pretty good. They probably played each other in college, right?
Oh, I'm sure they did. Georgia, LSU. Well, you know what? That's two separate sides of the SEC. I'd have to look at that.
Yeah.
I would imagine there's a chance. I don't know.
I'll look into that during the week.
But – you know, I think big picture, I'll leave you with this. Aaron Rodgers said today that if he knew coming in that they were going to basically be without their two best offensive linemen, not just David Bakhtiari, but Elgton Jenkins, he would have been happy with two wins. He's pretty ecstatic with 3-1. And I know, Tom, that you're not as high on them as I am, but I think that the fact that very little has gone right from an injury standpoint, and you look at who has been injured, they've overcome some things. And to be 3-1 and to right the ship, I thought it was very interesting. Aaron Rodgers said that there was a relief after the week two win against Detroit. There was relief because their backs were against the wall already. It was week two. That was not the plan. And then they have a nice win on the road, West Coast, short week, prime time, true road environment in San Francisco. And then they beat the Steelers today. It's three straight wins. They've righted the ship, at least, because that's the bottom line business. They've gotten back to 3-1 after that catastrophe in week one. They're in the best spot that they could have been coming out of 38-3. And it's impressive because they've had injuries.
Yep. I agree with that. I mean, I agree that they're in the best position they could be going into Cincinnati. I mean, they overcame that horrendous first game, and you know, now it's a journey. It's each week they gotta prove, and next week could be as tough a game as they play have played all year.
Might be. So the Packers are on to Cincinnati. Make sure you keep it here to PackersNews.com for full coverage of 27-17 Packers over the Steelers and the week ahead. Until next time, he's Tom. I'm Ryan. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening along to the Green 19 podcast.